we tend to think that we need to solve all our own problems, and we don't. It's very different. You know, so many times through the Jimmy Choo private equity deals, when I think back now, why didn't I call people and ask for advice or for help? Why did I feel that I had to figure everything out on my own? And that actually was very damaging to my career.
And that was Tamara Mellon, co-founder of the luxury shoe line Jimmy Choo. Tamara is known all over the world for her unrivaled passion and skill in designing shoes. After stepping down from Jimmy Choo, Tamara decided to start her own shoe brand. Now she's using her platform to speak out against the bias and sexism that she experienced as a woman in business. I'm Michelle King, and you're listening to She Innovates. It's a show that tackles the challenges and accomplishments of women working in innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. We're thrilled to have Tamara Mellon on the podcast today. In this episode, she's going to be sharing the difficulties she encountered building the Jimmy Choo empire. This includes her discovery that her work leading the organization was extremely undervalued compared to the company's male CEO. Tamara's also going to be sharing what each of us can do to tackle the issue of pay equity. Hi, Tamara. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I'm so excited to have you on the show today. You know, I just thought we could maybe get started by getting you to share a bit of background and also, you know, why this issue of pay equity is so important to you.
Well, I guess I see myself as an equal pay activist, really, because of my own experience. You know, when I founded Jimmy Choo, I was 27 years old and I had no idea what I was going to face. You know, I wanted to make beautiful shoes and had no idea the bias and the sexism that I was going to face being a woman in business. So from 20 years experience, what I'd like to do is help other women. And so with my new company, I have a female CEO, which in the first time in my life feels amazing. It feels like I have, you know, a true partner rather than an arranged marriage. And, you know, we're 90% women. And so, yeah, and we are constantly coming up with ideas and things that we can do to help change and create awareness.
You know, what you just said there, Tamara, is such a great example of supporting women in leadership. You know, for our listeners on the podcast who may be not familiar with your story, I just wondered if you could share sort of your personal experience with the issue of pay inequality and, you know, related to that, why you think it's so important for women to speak up and share their stories.
Yeah, I think it's really important because, you know, during the 2000s with Jimmy Choo, I went through 4 private equity deals, sales of the business. And I feel like if I had actually reached out to more women and had support from more women, I probably would have ended up in a better place. I wouldn't have felt so alone. I just think, you know, it's very difficult to do this on your own. And it really just comes from, there's a kind of lingering historical and cultural bias in undervaluing women's work. You know, with my own story, you know, in 2007 and 2011, I was given half the equity that my male CEO was given. And that was a loss of millions of dollars to me. So it just really meant that my work as a woman was not valued the same as the men who were working for me in a company that I founded. So I do think it's really important now to get support groups and females to help speak up about it, because without awareness around it, you tend to have this feeling that you're going through it alone, which is the worst feeling.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. But I mean, Tamara, one of the challenges, right, with speaking up is that often women are scared to do that because there are a lot of negative or potentially negative consequences associated with that. So I just wondered, you know, do you have any comments from your own experience in terms of, you know, how women can manage any pushback or backlash associated with speaking up?
Yeah, you know, part of why I didn't speak up was because I didn't want to appear difficult. you know, because there are so many myths around women in business, which are just not true at all. You know, one is women are not team players. You know, they're divas, that you get called diva, difficult, you know, and these are all myths. You know, research now shows that women are absolutely team players. And actually, when we negotiate something, we want everyone to win. You know, we're not there to annihilate the person across the table. So, you know, so all these myths need to be debunked, but I was almost trapped by the myths. I was like scared to speak up because of them. So I think we need to dispel all those myths. And that really is going to be a big cultural shift that needs to start with teaching young men and women from a young age and changing the cultural stereotypes.
Absolutely. I mean, it is a cultural shift and it is going to take some time. You know, one of the challenges, in addition to speaking up, is negotiating, right? Because when you're asking for more money, it can sometimes come at the cost of your social capital. So, you know, how do you encourage women to speak up and ask for what they want or what they deserve, you know, even if it's at the expense of their social capital?
Yeah, there's also a bias, you know, against women negotiating for themselves. And this is one that I'm still grappling with. You know, do you get somebody to negotiate for you, you know, or do we just have to, you know, take the consequences right now and do a lot of work to change those cultural bias, because they've been ingrained for decades. Yeah, that's one I'm still grappling with. You know, what should I have sent somebody else in to negotiate, you know, for me? Would there have been a better outcome? You know, those are still questions I'm asking.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's important for us to understand, you know, what's at the heart of all of this. So what are some of these sort of underlying factors, right? So given your personal experience, I mean, what do you think some of the causes are of pay inequality?
You know, I think it goes back decades, you know, with attitudes that haven't changed. So if you go back to the 60s, you know, women's salaries were considered to be the sort of secondary income in sort of a male-headed household. And things have changed now. There are a lot more single mothers. You know, we now know that, you know, 40% of babies born are two single mothers. So we're actually not just doing women a disservice, we're doing children a disservice by not paying women equally. Yeah, I think it's historical and it's ingrained in our culture, and we need to change the stories that we're telling.
You know, I think that's another sort of really important challenge that you just touched on there, you know, in terms of how pay inequality impacts women differently, you know, and trying to solve this issue. I just wondered, you know, what are your thoughts on how we should approach this? So how important is it to not treat it as sort of a one size fits all approach?
When you dig down and you see that, you know, women of color are paid less, that's another issue that's really important that we have to address. Think about how many children could be lifted out of poverty if women were paid equally. You know, unfortunately now, you know, women are graduating college in much higher numbers than men with higher degrees. But it's, you know, women have to get double the amount of degrees just to get paid the same as men. Even women with, you know, doctorate degrees, they're paid less than their male counterparts. So it's on every level of education and from every level of job and skill.
I completely agree with you. And, you know, just shifting gears a little bit in terms of solutions, one of the things that you actually talked about in your story was sort of how you added tremendous value to the Jimmy Choo brand. I mean, you basically were the brand, right? So, you know, I just wondered what your thoughts are in terms of how important it is for women to have confidence in terms of their value and knowledge of, you know, what value it is that they bring to the organization.
I think that comes with, you know, the stories that we tell women as well, and particularly young girls growing up. You know, our self-assessment is so much lower than male self-assessment, and we tend to undervalue ourselves. You know, we know that, like, when young women go out from college, their first ask on salary is lower than a man's, and that impacts their whole career. You know, there's about $1 million lost over a whole woman's career just because she starts out lower. So really it is, you know, if I had valued myself more, you know, I definitely would have spoken up a lot more. But our self-assessment is lower for some reason. And we also have this thing, I think, where we also, you know, we hold ourselves to higher standards than men do. And that actually cripples us because it gives us a fear of entering higher paying fields. You know, we have a lot of women graduating college with the same degrees as men, but then we'll take probably a lower paying position. So, you know, so it's also a confidence level. You know, I always say that, you know, women have this thing called imposter syndrome, right? Doesn't matter how much you've achieved. It's like someone's going to knock on your door and say, we know you didn't really do that. You know, and I still have that after building Jimmy Choo, having, you know, creating a $1 billion business. And now on my second brand, where I'm really, really trying to change the stories, change the perceptions, but I still have that imposter syndrome.
Yeah. And, you know, that can be really, really hard to break. I just wondered though, you know, based on your experience with this issue, have you got any advice for women in terms of, you know, how they can better quantify their own sort of personal value?
I think it's really important, you know, to get comparisons in the industry. I really didn't know my own value until I started to get comparisons of what my peers at competitive companies were getting or doing. And then I realized by doing that how undervalued I was in my own business until I started actually looking at the data. Data is incredibly important when you have actual real facts in front of you. Then you compare and you realize where your value is.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, there's a number of apps out there, right, that can help you do that.
Yes, assess where you sit in the market rather than asking for something in the dark.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, apart from sort of understanding your value and sort of building your confidence to kind of stand up for yourself, I just wondered, you know, do you have any other ideas in terms of, you know, how women can better support one another with this issue?
Yes, I would definitely say, you know, what men are very good at doing is asking for help. And we tend to think that we have to solve everything on our own. And just asking for help and getting a support group of just a bunch of friends around you or people in similar industries, and just having that someone to bounce a ball off, we tend to think that we need to solve all our own problems, and we don't. It's very different. You know, so many times through the Jimmy Choo private equity deals, when I think back now, why didn't I call people and ask for advice or for help? Why did I feel that I had to figure everything out on my own? And that actually was very damaging to my career.
Yeah, I mean, just on that, Tamara, I just wondered, you know, what are your thoughts in terms of the role that men play? So, you know, what do you think they can do to better support women with this issue?
Well, I think we start changing, you know, the historical bias of undervaluing women and having men step up to the plate for women as well, and changing the stories that are told.
So look, Tamara, you know, we're almost at the end of our show, and I just wondered, you know, could you maybe share some thoughts on, you know, what actions you think organizations can take to tackle this issue, and maybe some examples from your own organization as to, you know, what you're doing to try and address the issue of pay inequality?
Yes. So obviously, you know, the size of company matters. You know, my new business is a startup, so we make sure that we absolutely have fair market value pay, whether male or female. We've given equity to everyone who works at the company, so they really feel invested and part of the team and invested in the business. And I think that, you know, there's a Fair Paycheck Act, which is important. You know, in the UK, on April 4th, all companies with over 250 employees were asked to put their salaries in. And there was a huge study done on the gender pay gap, which was unbelievable. I mean, you know, my own industry is one of the biggest culprits of unequal pay, you know, and Theresa May actually stepped up and called this a burning injustice. So I think transparency is really important, and having self-checks and balances, and then also having something like a Fair Payness Act that people can go to if they feel there's gender bias.
So look, Tamara, my last question for you is, if you have any sort of general career advice for women, I mean, particularly given all your amazing experience and the fact that, you know, you're running your own business now, have you got any sort of final message for our listeners that you just want to share?
Yeah, my biggest advice would be, don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't feel like you have to do it on your own. You know, we hate asking for help. And I think that that's critical to kind of advancing your career.
Today on Fairy Godboss Insights, we're going to be tackling the issue of uncomfortable conversations at work. According to a study, 70% of employees avoid initiating difficult conversations with their boss and colleagues. In a survey of 1,400 full-time employees, results show that 53% of employees handle toxic situations by simply trying to ignore it. Only 31% of managers believe they address difficult conversations at work well. And there's several causes associated with this, including a lack of trust between employees and the company that they work for. Only 65% of workers say that they trust the company that employs them. And when there's a manager-employee trust gap, employees are less productive and less engaged and less likely to stay at their company. Having transparent culture that's built on trust is not only good for you, but it's also good for your development and it's beneficial to the business and the bottom line. If you're interested to learn more, please check out fairygodboss.com. So that's it for today, guys. And just before you go, if you haven't subscribed already, please sign up to my weekly newsletter, The Fix. You can do this by going onto my website, michellepking.com, and subscribing now. Thanks again for your support, and I'll catch you guys again next week.
She Innovates is produced by Human Group Media, a company that inspires people to do good through the power of audio storytelling. This podcast is made possible by SAP NextGen, an innovation platform that enables everyone, from individuals, companies, partners, and universities, to connect and innovate with purpose. In doing so, SAP NextGen supports the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals.